This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, February 18th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Group accuse refiners of taking E15 hostage. Attorneys General push for rail merger oversight and soybean acres to jump. Corn and biofuel groups are urging lawmakers not to allow, quote, a tiny handful of mid-sized refiners to take year-round E15 hostage while demanding outlandish handouts. The call comes after a congressional task force missed a February 15 deadline to come up with a recommendation for legislation that would allow year-round sales of higher ethanol blends, known as E15. Our rural champions in Congress, backed by President Trump, understand that voters want to see more American-made energy, lower prices at the pump, and stronger farm economy, said the National Corn Growers Association, Growth Energy, and the Renewable Fuels Association. Merchant oil refiners say any year-round E15 bill needs to reduce the Trump administration's proposed 15 billion gallon ethanol blending mandate for this year and next. They also want protection from an EPA proposal that would reallocate biofuel credits from small refinery exemptions to other refiners, saying that doing so, when combined with the unattainable mandate, will put independent refiners in danger of shutting down. Ag oil feuding could pose a loyalty test for President Trump, self-proclaimed fan of both American farmers and of fossil fuels. In a major announcement bearing the future of Roundup, Bayer announced a $7.25 billion proposed settlement to cover thousands of outstanding and future claims that the herbicide caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Plaintiff's attorneys who filed for class action status and preliminary approval of the agreement called it a tremendous victory for the plaintiffs in Missouri and across the region, many of whom have waited years for compensation for their Roundup-related claims. Bayer CEO Bill Anderson continued to maintain that glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is safe to use. Scientists and regulators worldwide have consistently held that glyphosate is safe, an essential tool for farmers in the U.S. and around the world, Anderson said. The proposed settlement was submitted by plaintiff's attorneys for approval in St. Louis Circuit Court in Missouri. Now take note, Bayer can't estimate how many cases the settlement will ultimately cover. However, it's structured to include not just current claims, but potential future claims for individuals exposed before February 17, 2026, or who are diagnosed within 16 years. Pork and poultry processors could see faster line speeds under new rules proposed by the Food Safety and Inspection Service yesterday. A new proposed rule would allow young chicken establishments to process up to 175 birds a minute, while maximum line speeds for turkey establishments would increase from 55 to 60 birds a minute. A separate rule would allow pork processors to set their own line speeds, quote, based on their ability to maintain process control, though USDA inspectors would be able to reduce line speed rates if they found a loss of process control or could not properly perform a carcass-by-carcass inspection within that time. Seven Republican state attorneys general calling for Justice Department scrutiny over a proposed merger between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. They argue that the deal would, quote, shackle domestic manufacturers, energy producers, and farmers with higher rates and fewer shipping options. In a letter to DOJ officials, the state AGs say their staff are reviewing the railroad's merger application, but so far they don't like what they see. The AGs said the companies have, quote, failed to adequately address the clear loss of horizontal competition that would result from the deal. They said company submissions advocating for the merger ignore DOJ measures of concentration that would make the merger illegal under federal antitrust merger guidelines. They also asked DOJ to analyze the claims made by the companies on the merger benefits for potential exacerbations. At the bottom, we believe that this merger is unnecessary and that railroads are not headed for extinction without it, they wrote. American shippers currently have access to fair, competitive, and efficient rail and interline service. The AGs on the letter include Austin Knudsen of Montana, Bretta Byrd of Iowa, Krista Kobach of Kansas, Lynn Flinch of Mississippi, Drew Wrigley of North Dakota, Marty Jackley of South Dakota, and Jonathan Scarmatti of Tennessee. We'll have more AgriPulse Debrick after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. U.S. soybean acres are likely to rebound this year. A new study from Cobank notes, following a big year for corn and amid rallying prices. Cobank analysts Tanner Emke and Emily Noyce project 86 million acres of soybeans in 2026, up from around 81 million last year, but behind 87 million planted in 2024. Farmers, particularly in the Midwest, sitting on record supplies of corn. Accordingly, the authors note that they, quote, will be reluctant to follow with more corn acres this spring and anticipate soybeans pulling acres from other crops. The expectation that the Environmental Protection Agency is set to increase its renewable volume obligation, coupled with optimism that the worst trade frictions with China are fading, is buoying prices. Meanwhile, slowing exports to China set to drag cotton acres to their lowest mark in 11 years. Rice acres are projected to fall 20% to their lowest rate in three decades, the authors say, amid cratering prices and a flood of Indian product on global markets. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative will hold a hearing this morning that to gather feedback ahead of an annual report on intellectual property concerns. Among those testifying is Shauna Morris, Senior Director of the Consortium on Common Food Names and Executive Vice President for Trade Policy with the National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council. The administration has negotiated language and a string of recent trade pacts to protect generic uses of common meat and cheese names like feta, parmesan, and pecanillo. Expect Morris to show appreciation for the inclusion of the protection in recent trade negotiations and highlight areas where the issues persist. Last year represented a breakthrough year in the protection of common names for U.S. producers, CCFN said in a written comment. We are eager to see the administration build on this success in 2026 and beyond. Take note, one area that groups will be watching closely is how Argentina implements the terms of its U.S. deal. A recent agreement with the U.S. included a slew of protections for generic meat and cheese names. But the European Union Mercosur Free Trade Agreement provides European producers protections for the use of some of the same geographic indicators. It's up to Argentina to determine how they will handle the EU Mercosur negotiations. Tony Rice, Senior Director of Trade Policy at NMPF and USDE, said in an email, but he added that the country's commitments in the U.S. deal are very clear. We expect full follow-through in implementation, he said. But Argentina has some time to decide how to handle the contradictory measures. The EU-Mercosur deal still has to undergo a judicial review before Europe implements the agreement, which could take more than a year. A worker has died in a fire at Cook Food Chicken Processing Plant in Ohio. It also injured two people, according to local news reports. The 25-year-old employee was initially unaccounted for, but was identified yesterday, WLWT5 reported. The Butler County, Ohio Coroner's Office reported that Griffin Darrow died of smoke inhalation. Authorities say the fire caused extensive damage to the 600,000-square-foot facility, including partial structure collapse in the central portion of the building, that TV station reported. The precise cause of the fire, which began early Sunday, is under investigation. Here's today's final word. I'm an old-school conservative. I've never supported tariffs. The last Republican president to support tariffs was Herbert Hoover, and it didn't work out for him well during the Depression. That's the word of Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska, speaking on MS Now yesterday. Bacon was among six House Republicans who voted to scrap Trump's tariffs on Canada last week. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, February 18th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.